Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Homestead Therapy Podcast. I'm Cindy, and I'm your host. So I welcome everyone, and I hope you all had a really good new year. It was really, really cold here, so we went out, but we didn't go very far because it was just way too cold. It was like minus 32 without the wind. So that is super cold. So I hope everybody's, recovered from Christmas and New Year's and, getting back into the swing of things and back into your routines. I know our kids are still off school for another, not quite a week. And then they're back at school, so we've got them home still. And when you have all the kids home, that, always makes things a little more chaotic, but we love it, so that's okay. So I'm going to start off with a little bit of an update. We don't have a whole lot that we've been doing because it hasn't been that long since our last podcast. And like I said, it's been really cold. So we haven't been able to do a whole lot outside, but, those chores still need to be done. The animals still need to be fed and watered, which is a fantastic workout, I have to tell you. There is nothing that gets the blood pumping and gets you warmed up quite like chiseling water dishes and hauling buckets of water and hauling feed and bedding animals and making sure everybody's nice and warm. So that's, what we've been doing with the animals. One of our goats, Daphne, who's actually our daughter's goat and her baby that she's raised as a bottle baby, she has a little bit of a scur, which is like basically, a little piece of a horn that she ripped off somehow by fighting, I'm sure, because she likes to fight with everybody. And so I went out there the other day to do chores and there was blood everywhere and it was running down her head. And I thought for sure somebody had died, but it was just her scur. And it doesn't really hurt them. It just looks really bad. It's kind of like, when you cut your head, it bleeds a lot. So So checked her out and she was fine. She just looked really bad. So that was the only real animal excitement we've had, thank goodness, because I could do without that kind of excitement. Other than that, we've been taking inventory. So the beginning of the year, we like to try and kind of do a little bit of an inventory and see what we have left in the freezer and what we have left in the pantry, what we have left in our root cellar, to just kind of see where we're at. Because what I like to do is keep track of how much we've put up. And then I always keep track of when we run out of that. So that way I know for the next year, how much more of that we need to grow. So it's kind of a little tip. So we did inventory and we figured out, we're doing pretty good. We got, lots of meat left and we've got lots of, frozen fruit and, lots of jams and jellies and those sorts of things still left. And, we've used up all of our canned meat, which I kind of thought when I was doing it that it wasn't quite enough. I was hoping that it was going to be enough for the year, but I know our kids really like it and it's a good, quick, healthy, wholesome meal. So I know for next year that we're going to have to, or this year, I guess, that we're going to have to put more of that up for the kids. So we did that. And in doing that, we decided to join the Three Rivers Challenge on Instagram. So now I don't know if any of you have heard of this or if you're on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram. We're Homestead Therapy on Instagram as well. So you've come and follow us and you can see pictures of what we're doing. But the Three Rivers Challenge is started on Instagram and it's basically, it's a challenge to use what you have, in your pantry and stored up and in your freezer and what you have on hand, because, most of us homesteaders, we like to put up a lot of food and we want to be self-sufficient. So we always have all these big stores of food. So the challenge is to use what you have and not shop at the store as much or at all if possible. So we have decided we're going to do it for 6 weeks. Gonna just eat what we have. Other than we are going to make our weekly trip to the store for milk, because when you have four children, you all know you got to drink. There's a lot of milk involved. And unfortunately, right now, the goats are all dried up, getting ready to have new babies in another month or so. And our milk cow, Maggie, she's all dried up because she's getting ready to have another baby in about 2 months. So, you know, we let them all dry off so they can put on some body weight. So we have no farm fresh milk, which is really sad because that means no butter and no cream and no cheese and no yogurt. But yeah, we just been buying from the store. So we've decided that will be our one kind of thing is buying our weekly milk from the store. Otherwise, we're going to try to just eat what we've got. So, you know, I think because we did that inventory, it really helped because now I can kind of do some meal planning, which I have to confess I am terrible at. One of my, I don't want to say resolutions, but goals for the year is to get better at meal planning because I am terrible at it. I find that I just run out of ideas, of what to make. And then when it comes to actually making it, I don't, you know, you probably all have the same thing. You just feel like you're making the same meals all the time. So, you know, I'm kind of go through my cookbooks, and now that I've got my inventory and I know what we've got, and what I'm working with, I'm going to try and do that. So, yeah. So if you guys want to join the Three Rivers Challenge on Instagram, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And I think it's good too, to see, you know, what you can do with what you've got. And, there's a lot of people have joined. And so seeing their pantries and, their recipes and what they're doing with what they've got really has been helping to kind of give me some ideas and some tips. So, and there are some beautiful pantries, y'all, that I am so jealous of. I would love to have pantries like some of them, one day. That's on the list. All right. So yeah, that's our homestead update. That's what we've been up to. So not a whole lot, like I said, because of the cold, but you know, we're still working on stuff. Once the warm weather comes, we'll be busy. All right, so now this podcast, I thought, because, you know, it's the beginning of a new year and everybody's kind of making resolutions and goals and all that sort of thing, I thought that this episode we would do on planning for a successful year. So one of our probably biggest mistakes when we first started homesteading is we did not have a plan. We just got so excited and were so gung-ho that we just kind of flew by the seat of our pants, and it was chaos. There was a lot of chaos. We had things, projects started everywhere, and jobs and things and chores and animals, and it was just craziness. So the biggest thing now is planning. We are all about the planning, and I drive my husband crazy because I have lists. I always have little lists everywhere, and I'm always telling him, you know, that's not on the list. And you know, he's starting to embrace the list, I think. At least I think he's embracing the list. Maybe he's probably not, but so yeah, planning for a successful year. So the very first thing, you know, to make sure you have a successful year is to decide what your goal for the year is. So for us, like I, you know, talked about last episode, where our big goal is more increasing our food production, you know, because of the price of food going up and because of, you know, just things are being a little tight and that sort of thing. So we really want to increase our food production. So that is our goal. So you need to, you know, sit down and look at what you have as a goal for the year. Once you have your year goal, then it kind of helps you to decide what your projects that you need to do for the year are. So for us, we always seem to have a list of homestead projects a mile long, that things that need to be redone, things that we want to add, things that, you know, that need to be changed. And we can never really seem to decide which ones to do. So we are going to, you know, talk a little bit more and try and get our goal on the same page. Because I think that when, you know, the both of us have kind of the same goal, but we have different ideas of how to get there. So, you know, talking, I think, is really going to be beneficial for that. So once you've got that goal that you have for the year, then you can kind of break that down. So for us, you know, food production, right? So what we've broke it down into is animals, garden, and then storage. So we'll start with animals. So looking at our animals, we decided, okay, we need to increase the amount of meat birds, or increase the amount of meat birds that get to our freezer, however you want to look at that. And so, you know, we've already fortified our chicken tractors and fixed those up. So we shouldn't have to worry about, you know, predators getting them now, hopefully, knock on wood. And so that should help. So, what I like to do is I figure about a bird a week, and then I add just a few extra because, you know, you never know if you got company coming over or you decide to do something different. And so that's 52 birds. And then I usually just round it up to 60. So we are going to plan for about 60 birds for ourselves. Plus we're going to have a few to sell. So I think we've kind of decided on about 200 birds is what we're going to, we haven't decided either hatch out ourselves or just bring in as chicks. So we're not really 100% sure there yet, but we do have a little time. So that is our goal for the chickens. We're going to, you know, do about 200 and then 60 for ourselves. So that's a start in that department. Then, you know, we look at pork. Well, so this year we raised 6 pigs. And we'll be processing them actually, well, 3 of them in the next week or so. And then we'll have 3 that are a little bit smaller that'll probably be a couple months yet. So we try to kind of stagger it. And for ourselves, 2 of the pork are for us, and then we have 4 to sell. And so the reason we kind of always do a few extra to sell is because it kind of helps to offset your costs, for raising them, and you know, if you have any butcher costs or that sort of thing. So the money that we make off of the extras helps to cover the cost of raising our own. So then it doesn't cost us anything to raise our own meat. So with the pork, we'll stick with probably the 2. So you know, then we looked at their housing and their pen, and we just redid it last year, so they have a brand new beautiful pen that is a small area, and then it has an opening to go out into the pasture once they're bigger, because of course we don't let them pasture until they're big enough that we don't have to worry about any animals coming along and eating them. So their pen is completely done. The only thing we do want to maybe change up a little bit is their water system. So we have an old water tank right now that hooks into a watering bowl for them, which is okay, but it's not, the water kind of gets a little bit old, I think. And so as much as we don't have to haul water a lot for them, which is a nice thing, I would prefer to haul a little bit more and have them have a little bit fresher water maybe. So we're working on that. And it also seems to fill up with a lot of dirt and mud from dirty little pig noses, which, you know, causes things to get plugged up. So we got to kind of work on that. So that's for the pigs. For our beef, you know, we look at our beef, and 1 beef a year is not quite enough for us. It used to be, but of course, now that our kids are getting bigger, we are probably up to the point where we could do 1.5. So that kind of works out good when it comes to our you know, theory of sell, do a little bit extra to sell to cover the cost. So I think we're going to be saving 2 beef this year for butchering, and butchering 1 early on and then 1 maybe a little bit later, and selling 1/2 of a beef at, you know, to kind of help with the cost of that. So with the cows, we really are, you know, there's been cattle here for many, many years. So they have all the infrastructure that they could possibly need. This year we did redo some of their, the corral that we put the the calves in when we separate them off from their mamas for a bit. We did redo part of that, and we will have to probably do just a little bit of repair on that again this year, because that corral has been here since my husband's grandparents. So they actually built it. So, I mean, it's like 60, almost 60 years old. So it's done really well, but it needs a little bit of TLC. So we fixed about half of it. We've got about half left to do this year. So those are the, you know, the plans for the cattle. Miss Maggie, she is our milk cow that is, you know, our favorite cow. Well, my favorite cow. So she, of course, doesn't go out to pasture for very long. She goes out in the fall, but she stays up closer to home. She still gets pasture, but she doesn't get to go with the beef cows way out to the pasture. She stays in the pasture closer to the house so that it's easier to bring her in for her milking twice a day. So, you know, we kind of looked around and she's kind of got everything she needs. Colin built me a kind of a milking area in the barn. My dad built a beautiful trough for Maggie. So, she's got kind of everything she needs for to come in to milk. The only thing is I would really like a milking stool. So I'm hoping I can get somebody to build me one of those, because right now I just sit on a pail, which is okay. But I've always wanted one of those, you know, pretty milking stools that you always see in the picture. So that's a luxury. It's not really a necessity, but we'll see where it ends up on the list. So that is it for her. The goats. So the goats just got a brand new barn. Like, we just finished that about a month ago. And so we'll have to do a little bit of finishing in there. It's hard to plan for meat wise for the goats, because we have dairy goats, so we use ours for milking. And so we downsized our herd a little bit. So this year we're going to actually be milking six mamas. So we'll be milking six goats for milk. And, you know, using that for our cheese and that sort of thing. And then when it comes to the meat part, the boys, because you can't have a whole lot of boys, so we usually weather the boys, and then they all get taken for meat, and we sell some of it, and we just keep a little bit for ourselves. So those ones are a little harder to plan. We eat goat, not a ton of goat, but we do eat goat. I'd like to kind of increase our goat consumption a little bit more to kind of offset some of our other meats. So yeah, they've got their new barn. They just got a new pen. We do need to do some of the penning inside their barn, and a few little finishing things like insulating some of the cracks and that sort of thing that we need to finish up, but we have to wait till it warms up. So that'll be you know, our goat jobs for the year. Then our turkeys and ducks. So turkeys and ducks have their outside shed and little yard that they run around in. I would like to try and figure out if we can make a duck tractor or a turkey tractor so that they can be pastured a little bit more than they are. They do have a portion of pasture, but it's not very big. So I would like to be able to put them out on pasture a little bit more. Colin is the lover of the ducks. I wanted to eat the ducks. He will not let us eat the ducks. They're all for eggs, apparently. So I'm hoping this year I'll get to eat a duck for Christmas, but that we'll see. But he would like to put in an underground pond for them that they can swim around in, because right now we have a swimming pool for them and we refill it with fresh water every day, but it's not very big and it gets dirty really easy, and it's, you know, it's just not very deep for them. So we'd like to put in a below ground pond. And what we'd actually are kind of looking into doing is seeing if we can possibly put like some tilapia or something in there that will help to, you know, with the keeping it clean or filtering and that sort of thing. We're working on the filtering part to keep it clean so we don't have to keep changing out the water, because ducks have dirty feet, y'all. They have very dirty little feet. And so their pond gets pretty dirty. So we want to try and figure that out. So that is kind of our goal for them. Now, all of these things, it sounds like a whole lot of jobs just for the animals. But really, it's actually not, because we look at them and, I mean, these aren't all jobs that absolutely have to be done this year. These are more, you know, these are the things we'd like to get done. So once we have looked at what we've got in our list of plans for the animals, we see which of those jobs needs to take priority. Like, you know, the fence for the cattle in the corral needs to be done because it's starting to fall down. So that's like obviously a very big necessity. The duck pond, if we don't get it done, we'll just continue on with their refilling their little pond every day. So, you know, we kind of put things in order of priority that way. So what else? Oh, what, bees. So we also have bees. So the bees are pretty good. We need a few more boxes built, and I'm hoping we only have two hives. We had two hives going into winter. So I'm hoping, last year we went into winter with three hives and we ended up having one of them didn't make it. So I'm hoping that this year both of them make it through the winter. And then I'm actually hoping to split them both so that we'll have four, because I would like to have 10 altogether, but that might be pushing it a little bit. So we'll see how that works. We go through a lot of honey though, so we need the bees. Plus, again, you have the more you have, then we can always sell some of our extra. So that, yeah, the bees are pretty good. So that is it really for our animals. You know, we've got a lot of animals, a lot going on. We don't really, you know, we were talking and we don't want to add any animals in this year. I think we're at the point where we have all of the animals that we need, you know, to get us through. You know, we have our laying hens and we have all the animals we need for meat and for milk. So there really isn't any that we want to add. So I think we're going to stick where we are. So then when it comes to the garden, so that we've taken care of all the list of jobs for the animals. Now when it comes to the garden, so I talked about before how we do our little inventory and I keep a list of how much I planted, how much that produced for us, and which of course varies from year to year depending on your conditions, and then how much we have used, you know, when we ran out, that sort of thing. So that kind of helps me to determine garden wise. So for example, green beans. I thought we had a bazillion green beans and I thought we will never eat all of these green beans. I have two jars of green beans, y'all. Two jars, that's it. So obviously I need to plant some more green beans. So, you know, I've been looking at my inventory and looking at what I planted. I'm probably going to double the amount of green beans I put in because, or the amount I process, because that's something we do eat a lot of. Green beans, peas, carrots. Carrots, we're down to our last bag, so we're definitely going to have to put in more carrots. Our carrots didn't do great last year, so that, you know, is a little difficult to figure out. But, you know, potatoes we're doing really well on. So just looking at what we've used and how much we need to add in. and then we look at the jobs that we need to change for the garden. So for example, you know, our garden has been there for many, many years. The garden area is actually my husband's grandma's garden from years and years ago. So it is starting to get worn out. So we have been amending the soil every spring and every fall for the last couple of years, adding in manure. We have a lot of animals, which means we have a lot of poop. So there is poop, no problem around here. So we can put all the manure we want in the garden and that work that up, and that helps with that. For us, we need to add a little bit of bulk to our soil. So this year, what we did actually was we put straw on the garden. So we put a lot of straw on. We're going to hopefully it'll rot down over the summer or the winter. And come spring, we can kind of work that in and it'll help to bulk it up a little bit. So, you know, doing a soil test, if that's something we want to do, will be early in the year before we plant, and then it'll help us to know what we need to add. So that's on our list of things, is, you know, making sure your soil is good and making sure you don't need to add to it. So once we got the soil and we know what we're doing there, we've also decided we're going to move all the potatoes out of this garden. So we have potatoes and everything all in one garden. It's a very big garden plot. Last year we planted 450 hills of potatoes. This year we'll probably plant more, I'm thinking, because we do have a lot of potatoes, but we use a lot. So I'm thinking, you know, as the kids grow, we'll probably maybe put in an extra 50 hills. So doing about 500. So we're going to actually move those to another piece of land and do the potatoes just in that area so that we have this whole garden for more of our other vegetables like corn and beans and peas and that sort of thing. And because our orchard is actually also attached to our garden and we want to expand our orchard a bit, we also need that space for that. So that's our plans for the garden. So the garden is pretty easy, really, for planning wise. There's not a lot to it other than planning what you want to plant, you know, seeing what you have left for seeds and kind of just take an inventory of your seeds and see what you need to buy. So once we've done the garden and the animals, we have left storage is, you know, for us. So storage wise, you know, our pantry is okay. We need a little bit more space. So I think we're going to have to add in maybe another shelving unit or two for storage space for our canned goods. Our root cellar, we right now just have an old cistern in our basement that, you know, used to have water in it, and so it's got a piping to the outside so it keeps it cool. But I would like to actually at some point dig an actual root cellar outside, so we're looking at that. But I think this year we're just going to stick with what we have as a root cellar downstairs. We're going to paint it out with a sealant just to give it to freshen it up a bit and to help with some of the moisture, because I think there's still some moisture in there, and moisture does not keep vegetables very well. So we're going to seal it and put in some more shelves and just, you know, very little for that. Maybe put a door on it, because right now it's just basically got a piece of board leaning against it for my door. So I'd like to have an actual door that I could open and close, which would be really helpful. Freezer space wise, we have three freezers right now. So one at my father-in-law's and two in our basement. And I think freezer space, you know, we're okay. I would like to possibly add in one more. But we're going to kind of play that by ear and see if we can, you know, can some more of our things, or, you know, in our previous episode, I talked about building a smokehouse so that we can maybe not have so much in the freezer. So I'm thinking for this year, we'll just go with the three freezers we have and make it work and try, you know, once the smoker's built and we've smoked some stuff and see how that stores and see if we can keep that in the cold storage. So then, for storage, that's really it. You know, we can food, we freeze food and smoke. So we've got those, we're going to be smoking food. And so we've got those three things and they're pretty much covered. So we don't have a lot we need to do for that. You know, so that kind of gives us our rough plan of what we need to do over the year, when it kind of needs to be done is something we can sit down and look at now and think, okay, so obviously, you know, we want to fix the chicken tractor before we put the chickens in it. So, you know, and the chickens are going to come usually in April is when we get the chicks for raising. So we obviously need to do that before that. So once you have your list of things that need to be done, you can look at when you need to do them, and then it helps to plan. You know, obviously you can't plan for your harvest season because you don't exactly know when all your crops are going to be ready or when your animals are going to be exactly ready, but you can have a rough idea. So we usually do a plan in January for the first 6 months of the year, with, you know, some tentative things that need to be done later on. And then we sit down again in the summertime and kind of plan for the last 6 months. And okay, what are there some things that we need to do for fall to get ready, you know, before winter comes and that sort of thing. But, you know, start out with just planning for the first half of the year and getting an idea of what you need to do. And once you have a plan, I have to tell you, starting out with no plan and just winging it felt so out of control. And now that we sit and we plan and we know what we want to do, I can look at my list and I can check things off, and we can, you know, change things around, and we can kind of, you know, see where we're going. Because before this, we just kind of, like I said, won it. We didn't know what we were doing. We just kind of did this and that. And this way, it's so much easier to make sure things are done, make sure things are finished, you know, make sure we're not forgetting something, or, you know, that we're not doing things that really don't need to be done or aren't important or aren't as important as other jobs. So it really helps to prioritize things. So that is our tips for planning for a successful year. There's so much more we could talk about, and I feel like I've been talking for forever, and I'm sure you're all ready to stop listening to me and to get back to what you were all doing. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you next week. Have a good week, everybody. Bye.